Good morning, and God bless you, and what a joy to be here at St. Thomas's. Can we just pray, please? Almighty God, how thankful we are this day to be together as your family. We thank you for that precious word that we were created in your image and that you have made us to be sons of the living God, that we are fellow heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ and co-workers with him, to ensure that the ministry of reconciliation is fulfilled here on earth. Father, we thank you that even when we feel so inept, you are working within us, that you are showing us that we are mighty in you, God. Even when we fail you, you allow us to find forgiveness and to come back into sonship with you. And we just thank you, Lord, today that we can be able to grab a little bit of that heavenly knowledge that you do love this world, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the payment for sin, that we could find you, Lord, and that we could know that we were precious and treasures in your eyes. We ask, Lord, that by the works of your Holy Spirit this day, you would work in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus was the image of God, it says, and he came to earth and he displayed himself. And he could have been creative and been a wonderful artist, or he could have been a wonderful doctor. He could have been many, many things. But Luke 4:18, it says that Jesus Christ came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, to open up blinded eyes. This is the whole purpose of Jesus. Whenever you look through the scripture and look for where is Jesus working, you'll find him with the poor, you find him with the broken, you find him with the hurting, you find him with the lonely, the isolated, the women who had little respect in that day and time. Jesus was a savior for women. No wonder they clamored to him. For those who felt so misunderstood, so isolated within their generation, that's who Jesus hung with. And he went out to find them. The biggest quandary we have here in our nation, and I go to many, many churches throughout the whole of the Lothians, is that we're all facing this type of cut and this hair color. And unless we really come about the master's business, unless we really come back to what our purpose is here on earth, the church is going to struggle. You see, for someone to come through that door, it's so difficult. It was easy for me. I'm coming in here to be with family, but it can be so difficult. And they come in with their brokenness and they expect to see people who are perfect. How wrong are they? They come in to see people who are holy, and we're only holy because God made us holy. They come in to see people that they feel are different. And how do we hate to feel different? But there's a way forward, a way in which we can touch the broken. And by doing so, we will so transform us. Because when he says, heal the broken heart, set the captive free, and open up blinded eyes, guess where most of the blinded eyes are? Here. Here. We're going to get blinded to it, and we're going to read a passage of scripture which Jesus Christ chooses the characters of this passage. And it's a passage you all know in Luke chapter 5. If you go to Luke chapter 10, and if you have Bibles, or if you want to take a, just grab a Bible. I believe there's power in when you see the written word. I believe there's power when we hear the written word. And I believe there's power when we speak the word of God. Imparted power. And it says here in Luke chapter 10 and in verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And in reply, Jesus said, "A man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers, and they stripped him of his clothes, and they beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to that place and saw him, he passed to the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where he was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him, and he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he put him on his own donkey, took him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 silver coins and he gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" And the expert in the law said, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus said, "Go do thou likewise." When we read this very familiar passage of Scripture, it just sort of goes in one ear and out the other. We've known it since we were a child, since I was 8 at school and went to the Free Church up in Stornoway. I heard this continually spoken. But Jesus Christ chooses the characters. Now, I don't know why he didn't choose a Roman as one of the people who looked and walked on by. Why didn't he choose a Samaritan who were hated anyway, and he looks and he walks by. And then the church come by and we just pick him up. Why did Jesus do that? He had every chance to do it. Why does he make us look so inept? Why does he make us look so poor? God knows. God knows the future from the beginning. And he knows us as his sheep. And he calls us sheep. He doesn't call us lions. I have a lovely volunteer, 84-year-old from Davidson Main's church. An 84-year-old. So you're never too old for what I'm going to talk about today. Okay? And she says, "I used to sit at church and my life was filled with endings. And I found safe families and I suddenly found a beginning, a new beginning." And she said, "And what happened to me is I used to sit at church and I was just like a little sheep. I would just come in, I would hear the service, drink the tea, say hello to someone and then leave." She said, "But you know something, Don? I found the lion. I go up to a 5th-floor flat of a Wester Hills block, and when that door gets opened, a woman looks at me and she says, 'Hello, Mama.' And her little child looks at me and says, 'Hi, Grandma.' And I've only known them for 3 or 4 months. But something's happened in their life." And you know what she says? "You know what's the big thing? Something's happened in my life." So here this man is. He comes to this part. We go to the next slide. Here's the essence of what really the whole parable is about. Imagine you're walking down Corstorphine. It may be late at night, and somebody just takes you and just beats you. Just beats the living pulp out of you. They take everything you got, your handbag, everything, the car keys, your just everything. You're in total and utter crisis. You're lying there half dead. You're in an alley. You don't know who might be passing by. And just suddenly, the church across the road, they're leaving, and someone is crossing the road. But they see they have to get home because they got church tomorrow. So they look at you and they think, I'll have to call the police when I get back home, and they walk on by. Hope appears again in another church person who comes and thinks, maybe this church person will help me, but he passes on by too. Doesn't that make you feel tough? Does that make you feel bad? Let me tell you what someone from the local council said to us. Because we connect church with brokenness. That's what we do. That's our whole mission. And really, in many ways, it's not our, we'd love to disappear. It's just church's mission anyway. He said, "We learned compassion." He doesn't go to church, and he's not a born-again believer. "We learned compassion from you," he said, "the church. But," he said, "about 90 years ago, you handed it all back to us, and you said, 'We don't want to deal with these broken people anymore.' I can tell you, the night this happened to me, shame fell on me. I was at the back of the hall, had just introduced him, and I began to just feel terrible." He said, "And that's okay. That was your decision." He said, "But what we didn't expect you to do, We didn't expect you to turn your back and walk away. And when you turned your back and walked away from us, you left social service to do it all. And we can't do it. He said, so I just want to say to you, welcome back, church. Isn't that wonderful to hear someone say that? Welcome back, church. And that's what we're trying to do now across the nation is welcome back, church. You see, Jesus carried with him, God was in Christ. Christ was reconciling the world unto himself. That's what it says. He was reconciling the world. And now what God does, it says that God is in Christ and Christ is in us. And that we have now received the ministry of reconciliation. So if we were to remain here forever, no one would get reconciled. We were lucky. We got reconciled. And it's a bit like that. But Jesus kind of wants us to be like a fishing boat where we cast the net and we draw them in. Actually, what Jesus wants more than anything is for us to be lifeboats. It's to be lifeboats for people who are literally drowning out there in the highways and byways. And we literally help and we pick them up and we bring them on board. So here this man is in total crisis. And the person who he doesn't expect to help stops by. He doesn't know him. But this man, it says that he was gripped with compassion. And that Greek word is an absolute wrenching of the stomach. It's you're completely and utterly stopped in your tracks. He takes him. He holds him. He binds his wounds. It says that he carried him. And any of us who have lived the Christian walk for long enough know how much it takes, how often we've been carried. By some, we've had a broken heart or a broken experience. And literally someone has just carried us and helped us along the way. I wonder, can we carry someone today? And so much the burden is no different to the burden that the other church members felt. They were busy. They were about God's work. But can I tell you something? Like the old poem says, God has no hands but our hands with which to give them bread. He has no feet but our feet with which to walk among the almost dead. And we say that we are his and he is ours. But deeds are the proof of this, not words. And these, if ever there is a time in such a confusing setting of where our country is literally spinning, they can't seem to find anything to hang on to. They're certainly not going to hang on to politicians. And there's enough public ways in which we are being humiliated through the media as church that they struggle to even hang on to church. At such a time, we can make such a difference by touching those who are broken. Let me just show you a very quick video. If you can go back up to 4:3. And this is a couple who were coming to Edinburgh for help. Has anyone ever heard of Thomas Guthrie? Right, so Thomas Guthrie, someone took me to a statue. I hate when this happens. Americans normally do this to me. They say, Don, what is that statue over there? I haven't a clue. But he took me to the statue of Thomas Guthrie and he said, where are we standing just now? I said, I don't know, at Princess Street. He said, no, this is Thomas Guthrie's statue. Thomas Guthrie loved the children of Edinburgh. He loved the broken when no one else cared for them. He loved them and he set up schools and he cared and he fed them. I said, wow, I've never heard of this man, Thomas Guthrie. But we are all to be Thomas Guthrie's. We're all to be Jesus. You know, when beautiful Rebecca, when you said that God formed in us a spirit, you know that spirit wants all of you? You know, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says that we are to be renewed, transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's such a painful experience as this little Jesus, like a little jelly baby. And normally, some of us will go to church and preach on this, but a little jelly baby forms into this amazing being called Christ. You see, we are to be Christ. He said, I must disappear in order that I can reappear in all of you. In me. It's hard for us to believe it. But what we have so often, if we don't do the transformation process, we end up with toddlers. You see, when you have a young child, a boy or a girl, you kind of want to hold them and make sure that they're cared for. Sometimes you don't want to let them out into the crazy world we have. But it's in sometimes that little striving of going to summer school, of going to high school and going to all these things that we suddenly stretch a little bit more and we say, yeah, I can do that. I can hail a bus. I came from Lewis. Okay, I'd never hailed a cab in my life, didn't know where one was. I'd never stood at a bus stop in my life. I said, how do you know the 316 comes here? And they say, well, because it's got 316 up on the... I didn't know. But how do you know it comes at 5 minutes past seven? It's because it says it comes at 5 minutes. I didn't know. I really didn't know. But in the stretching of leaving Lewis and going to Manchester, I grew up a little bit. We're to grow up in Christ. When people meet you, they should stand there and look and, oh my goodness, I've just heard the words of Jesus uttered. It wasn't just a verse, but that person wanted to journey with me. They wanted to come into my life, my broken mess. They wanted to hear me and feel my tears and feel my pain. And they wanted to say, you know, I'd like to be your buddy. I don't know if any of you men, especially men, when you get broken, it's hard to find someone you can run to. Hard to find someone you can just go to. Women seem to do it in a collective. They just love to come around each other. But sometimes even then, it can be a lonely life. But in those moments of time when someone needs to touch you, what does it feel like when Jesus comes alongside? When that person filled with the Spirit of Christ comes alongside and touches you? That's what I'm asking for today. What would happen if this church, if I gave you venues where when you open the door, they don't slam it because you mentioned the word Jesus. They actually say, are you from Safe Families? Please come in. Come in. And you're welcomed in. And a little boy or a little child or a broken mother, their heart becomes repaired when you come on a Friday like you said you're going to come. And you maybe just sit with her and let's just have a coffee. Let me hear your heart. We don't ask people to be the silver bullet. We don't ask them to come and to be the counselor. We just say, you know something? Inside you is the counselor. Inside you is Holy Spirit. Inside you is the Spirit of the living Christ. And if you can just come into the wobbly world and just stand stable for a while, guess what? After a while, the wobbliness stops. You know, 73% of the people we touch don't go back onto the register. That's an amazing statistic. We are literally going to impact the whole of society if church will come with us. But if church wants to remain inside this wall, all that will happen over time is we'll become less and less, older and older. Because the miracle of what transformation happens is when we go out. Something happens in us. Yes, we'll touch people. Yes, we'll transform people. But we become transformed ourselves. And people start to hear that church is actually a place where you can come and get healed. You know, I was going on the 41 bus the other day and I saw all these spires across the town. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, you know, those used to be spires of hope. Where we, before we had phones, I know it's hard to believe, iPods and iPads, but before we had all of those things, we just would go to that place that had the spire. Because if I get there, there's people that will help me. So here's a couple on this little video. I just want to show you, it's fall number three, slide number three. And I just wanted, they came to Edinburgh for help, and here's two volunteers of ours coming to help them.
At Safe Families, we know that every child deserves to thrive, and we recognise that to do this, children need to be loved and feel secure. The problem is that when families are isolated and struggling, their children can feel upset and afraid. Facing life alone is hard, and when families feel like there is no one there to help, it's a scary place to be.
We'll jump into things and just say, yeah, we'll do it. And then when it comes to us, like well, don't do it then, right?
But that first meeting, they were so tentative. Yeah. They were very wary. I was saying things like, if you don't want to do it, it's fine. Really, don't worry. Because they were very anxious about letting people into their lives.
Yeah. Got introduced.
Introduced. And if it was for a bit more support for us. So, because... We haven't got family up here.
It's all is us up here.
So that's what it was.
Yeah.
At Safe Families, we train and support volunteers and connect them with isolated families so they can build relationships that bring hope. When families move from one part of the country to another, they can lose their support network. When Safe Families are asked to get involved, we connect volunteers with the family to help establish a new network.
when we got spent a bit of time with them, it was amazing just the way they trusted us and shared things with us. And I think with not having the family support round about, she'd lost her mum not that far back, and who was a big influence in her life and a big support.
They started to come in to help us because the support had gone from that side because of my mother passing as well. So, and then it's just like where we are with them today is just absolutely
amazing.
Every time we come away from them, we just smile and say, oh, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a good experience.
We'll go out for a coffee with Sheila and John when we meet up and everything. Just being able just to speak to someone else.
We went with them to register the birth at the registrar's office. And the registrar said, he was the grandparents.
Months later. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. But we'll still be like it many years later.
Yeah. But
we were looking for something to do together.
Mm.
And this is one of the things that we do together in retirement. And it's good for us. It gives a common interest, and it means our timetable is also synchronised a bit better.
Safe families for children have helped me as a father to be a proper father to my children. With support and help from John and Sheila, as a bit of a guidance as well.
It's such a privilege. Every time we've come away, we think, that's amazing, that's wonderful, that's so good. Because they have trusted us and they have embraced us and welcomed us into the family.
As I said, we class them as family. They're not friends. They've got a special place in our heart.
It's family.
It's family to us, though they are.
Please consider helping children and families in your area to feel loved and secure. Contact Safe Families today to find out more.
So there we are. It's about network. This is family here. So when I take people in Safe Families and we connect the volunteers together, when they are connected, and we do have volunteers here, wonderful, beautiful volunteers here, when we take them and they get connected, they gain a network, and we call that network community. So when we're talking to a local authority, we're talking community. Now, community may be a local cafe. They may not want to come to church. So it's not like, you know, you find them, they're just starting to say, we want Jesus. It's that consistency. It's that faithfulness that I talked to Bill about. It's that faithfulness rather than just simply a success. Success is determined by this wonderful picture. In Stormy Harbor, when I was drowning at the age of 7, a man dared to jump 20 feet into the harbor. And he dragged me out. And you know, I was not aware of anything that was happening to me. But I do remember that was the day that I was saved. It's you willing to go to jump into the harbor. It's you willing to go to that place where someone just needs to know that Jesus wants to genuinely help. So I just want to look at the types of volunteers that we typically have. We have resource volunteers. We have a team of people that came in the other day and they painted someone's living room. It was a ghastly state. She just moved into council house and it was a really pretty chronic place. And we just had a whole bunch of young students come in and they painted the place. They left laughing and joking. We had lunch together and they finished the thing. The woman was absolutely elated. And every time she looks at that room, she'll remember church. That's simple. That's your resource. You don't have to talk to anyone. And you know, we often find a lot of the guys we have just want. I'm good at DIY. I'm not going to be talking to her, but I'll put up that shelf. But the shelf looks great, or the coat hangers look fantastic. It is life changing. The second thing is you just spend a little bit of time. It's called a befriender. You simply come alongside someone and say, "Can I spend a little time with you?" And maybe once a week or once a fortnight you come and you meet them and you might be just taking, like a little boy, a 28-year-old father died of cancer. His little children used to go to the soft play. And all they remember is, "Dad took me to the soft play." So the only thing, it's not massive. Knock the door, kids in the car. Two little children. They remember that man or woman who consistently came and they just did it every single week for about 3 months till mum could get over, till the kids could restore themselves. So they go back into that place where they could say, okay, we accept that dad's gone. But then you can walk alongside them for as long as you like. You can go on forever. I'll never forget the Beldy sisters, three old spinsters who led me to Jesus. Never forget them. I was eight years of age. Changed my life. You're never too old. You're never too busy. You're never too young. Mom and dad can display and model what it looks like to two of their children in a way that is life transforming. Why? They get to see kids that are not like them necessarily, but they get to see mom and dad model what family looks like. It's life changing for them when they go off to university, life changing for them when they begin their career. It's about Christ being in us, Christ formed in us. So we got. If you're say family volunteer, would you just simply stand? I know you may not want to do this, but could you just stand, just for a second? Wonderful. Can we just give them a wonderful applause? We got three in this church. You know, I went to a church the other day, and I said, I want to take a church. I honestly do. I know that's a big, bold ask. I want to see a whole church come with us. You know something? Because it's not my job. I'm wrongly set for this job. I'm way too emotional. So I should be on some sort of other kind of role, back office role or something. But this is just your job. This is my job. I'm down there in peace and Jesus. You planted us. You planted my church. Thank you for that. God bless you for that. You know, and I get to go there because you planted, you invested, you poured your heart into that place. And now I'm asking you, what else could we do? What else could we do? And you know something? This entire church came with me. Can you imagine the state of me? Can you imagine? Because all they want to do is, I'll find an hour. When I'll try. Now, I'll be honest with you, there's lots of things involved. There's PBGs, there's training, there's things you have to do. You're not necessarily going to be accepted. I'll throw that one out there now, okay? Because if we feel that it's way too much for you, if you've had your own tragedy, I feel that tragedy meeting tragedy would not be good for you. You won't get through the process. But if you think that, hey, you know something, we could do a life changer here. You know, if I'm at the end of my life, start of my life, middle of my life, whatever, we can do this. So the very last one you can do is hosting, where right now I'm doing some critical hosting. It's called grandparents. So we got two twins back at the house that need to be taken care of this week. And here I am in St. Thomas's. My wife's still, she's fully on with me. But that was just a crisis moment. It's family. It's easy. You say yes. But what about a woman who just had an accident, maybe crossing the road, she got hit by something. She's got two little kids that if they don't get someone to take care of them, they'll be put into care. And once in the care system, they could become lost or they could become parted from mum for a while. All we do as church, we say, look, we'll take care of those babas for a couple of days. No problem. We'll take them into the house. And then after a few days, we release them back to mum. What does that mean to that mother? So that's all I'll say to you. If you want to come with us, there's a training on the 28th of this month at Davidson Mains. It's the easiest location in the world to find. It'll take you about, not even a day, 9:30 till 3:30. And we'll train you on what it takes to understand, to empathize, to listen well, to be able to walk out the walk. If you want to talk to any of our volunteers, they'll be with me, hopefully unprepared, at our stand back at the court. What is this area called back here? Your tea and coffee area? At the hall. So I'll be back there, and if there's anything we can do, but can we just close in prayer? Father, we really believe that every child in Edinburgh deserves to be loved. That every child in Edinburgh deserves to be cherished, Father. And for those who find themselves in a dysfunctional relationship at home, where there is brokenness evident, Lord, I just pray that we, your hands and feet, we, your church, would be able to come alongside those people and touch him in a very real and relevant way, Father, that we would bestow the love that Jesus had as he portrayed in that parable of the Good Samaritan, where he was willing to pick him up and carry him and take him to a safe place. Lord, when you said to us, go do likewise, I just thank you, God, that is for our transformation also, that in doing so, we will reconcile this world back to you, because by our good works, your word says that they will glorify you in heaven. Lord, let us be that for you. And I just thank you here for St. Thomas's Church. I thank you for David and for the elders and for the church and for everything that they are here, Father. I thank you for the life birth that they are to other churches throughout the city. And God, for the light that they are in this community as it shines forth. We ask that you would work in us mightily, God, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you very much. Bless you.